Blog Talk Radio. A massive movement is going on. Melanin is being destroyed. But the system of white supremacy says, I will be able, by offering grants, I will be able by offering jobs, to tell you that you are the cause of the death of black people. I'll be doing it. But I'll make you focus on yourself and try to figure out how you can destroy one another. I'll do it to you in Rwanda. I'll set up the Hutu and I'll set up the Tutsis. I will give each group all the weapons they need. And I say, now I have taught you to hate your melanated selves. Now you fight each other. I'll do it to you on the streets in Los Angeles. I'll set up one group the Crips and another group the Bloods. I'll set up all kind of Muslim groups and say, fight each other. I know I can get you to do it because I have programmed you for thousands of years to hate black. But if we don't see that this war is on the table, we will go off focusing on something else altogether, and the slaughter will continue. So I say, and I know you've heard me say this before, that when I say that the system of racism, white supremacy, is the critical thing that we must focus on, because that is what is waging war against us. The white people came up with a plan some years back, Global 2000, in which they said it's too many people of color on this planet. By the year 2000, it's necessary to get rid of 2 billion. They are about business. They are about serious business, removing as they deem necessary the people of melanin on this planet. If we do not understand and make an analysis that this is fundamental, it is this dynamic that is taking us out. Everything that we look at, everything else, I believe, and I could be wrong, but as it comes to me, it will be in vain. Everything that we are studying is important. Everything that we look at has high-level significance. But if we are not understanding this massive war and what is at stake, I believe we will not be able to apply our energy force in a laser-type manner so that we really begin to neutralize the war that is coming at us. To me, it is critically essential for us to develop or to articulate a new world order of
And that was the late, great, legendary Dr. Frances Kress Welsing. I want to welcome everybody to We Are Everyday People, Global Internet Radio Network. We are featuring today unapologetically black liberals, myself and Brother Dan Lee, and we're going to go more into Dr. Welsing. I want to bring Brother Dan Lee, who is a graduate of DuSable, retired railroad worker, has been on the show a few times, and I was impressed enough and continue to be impressed enough to have asked him to be a part of this network, and I'm still humbled that he has agreed to do so. So I want to bring on Brother Dan Lee. Dan, how's it going, man?
Oh, great, man, great. And once again, thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I started to come in with Dr. Welsing without even any music, because I wanted to definitely say something about her and how much of a legend that she is. It's unfortunately that more people don't know of her. What is your take and what are your thoughts on Dr. Welsing? I know that you are very much familiar with her and her work.
Oh, yeah. The ISIS papers and the, which basically was an explanation and a study of the history of racism, basically. One thing I did find out about her recently, a lot of people didn't know that she really didn't like scandal. She didn't care for scandal. She grouped that together with slaves. She didn't like that at all. She doesn't not the scandal itself, that type of television. So she's like linking that to some of the white supremacist brainwashing type things. I just thought I'd throw that out there because that's not something a lot of people know about her. But she is a giant, an intellectual giant, you know, and, you know, I just listen, read, and learn whenever, you know, I hear something from her or read something about her. I just basically just study her because I can't add anything to what she says. All I can do is absorb it.
Brother, I tell you, when she speaks, I'm just in a suspended state of animation with nothing working but my ears, man. The only thing on is my ears, because it goes in and she puts it so precise and so plain and doesn't make it complicated at all. And it makes so
not
much
at all.
Sense. When I first started the show, this is my third year, I think my sixth show, I decided to, you know, let me go ahead and reach out and see if I can just, you know, let me reach out to somebody who I really respect and really would like to have on the show. And I called her. I called her office. I left her a message. And she blew my mind, man. She called me back that evening. And I couldn't believe I was talking on the phone to her.
Okay.
You know, for me personally, this is deep. This is equivalent to someone back in the 60s calling and leaving a message for Malcolm X, and he calls them back.
Right. I can imagine.
To me. Yeah. To me. I could not believe it. I'm still humbled by it. We talked for a while. She agreed to come on the show. She gave me an hour and a half interview. We had no caller, so I had her all to myself. And I tell you, brother, that was the highest rated show that I've had to this day. And I'm still humbled by it. And I treasure the fact that I had a chance to converse with this legend on my
That's
show.
One for the archives, for the sure. That's definitely, oh, definitely for the ages.
Absolutely. And what I'm going to do is dedicate on every one of my shows that I host a clip of her speaking. And I wish I had time today. I would have cut out some clip from the interview that I had with her, but I'll have that on the next show with her and myself interview. That is a treasured moment, and I really, really think she is a legendary giant, and I wish people, if they didn't know about her, get on Google and find out. She has all kind of material on YouTube.
Yeah, I know. That's why I found out about her dislike of the, you know, some of today's TV programming.
Yeah, great, great, great. It broke my heart. I was going to try to, I believe on the 23rd they're having services, but it's more of a memorial concept. If she was going to have a traditional services where I could see her, I would have gone.
Yeah, I understand that. Cause, you know, that,
absolutely.
I don't like going to funerals and memorial services, but I think I would have had to try to make that one. I try to avoid those, especially when I think it's, you know, a very popular person, like a celebrity or something. I stay away from those. But somebody like that, I go to pay tribute to, you know, to a mind like that.
But I definitely want to get Dr. Welsing in a word with Welsing, and I'm not finished with Dr. Welsing because, like I said, she's going to be a part of at least a 10 minutes or so part of every one of my shows with some if I can spread her knowledge out there to the people through my show or through our shows, then I'm definitely going to take that time to do it, man.
Yeah, that sounds like a worthwhile endeavor.
Yes,
definitely,
sir.
Because we need it. We need it badly.
And the clip that I played was still startling when I hear her, because a lot of times, and I won't go in the whole show on Dr. Welsing, but I just got to say this. This is what I do. A lot of times I'll go on YouTube and create a playlist. This is even to this day. And I'll get a couple of audios for Dr. Welsing. I'll make it Neely Fuller, Umar Johnson. I'll try to find some Dick Gregory to hit with Claude Anderson.
That's another hit. Anderson.
I go to sleep to it. I play it until I fall asleep.
Okay.
And when I wake up, they're still playing. A different one is playing. So this is what I go to sleep by. I don't go to sleep with television and music. I go to sleep with talk and education every night. Mm-hmm. But Dan, man, it's a whole lot of stuff going on, man. What's been getting down on you? Let's go into your as a matter of fact, if anybody wants to call in.
Neck of the woods.
My
neck of the woods over here. Well, you know, it's crazy.
Let me get the
crazy.
Number.
Not like, you know,
let me get
the
number.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, let me get the. I was going to announce the phone number to the people who are listening who may not know.
Oh, go ahead.
If you want to call and chime in and be heard, it's 718-664-9513. 718-664-9513. Brother Dan, you got the wheel.
Okay. I just heard today, like, this interim police chief that Rahm Emanuel has appointed, Escalante, has now applied for the permanent job. Now, the fact that this cat is in there at all is an insult, simply because he could possibly be one of the co-conspirators in this cover-up since he signed off on all those phony reports. And he is now our police chief. I don't know how much more insulting it gets. They didn't even mention any possible African-American candidates. You know what I'm saying? So it just seems like they just want to see if they can just push us to the limit and see if we have an insult level. Some people don't seem to have a problem with that. They seem to think that since the police department is so utterly corrupt, what's one more bit of corruption? And it's just amazing to me. And they're about to release a new video where they've gunned down another suspect about 3 years ago, and they've held on to it for these 3 years. Of course, no charges have been filed against anyone. IPRA, the task force that preceded IPRA, the state's attorney's office led by the worthless Anita Alvarez, nobody has done anything about this. And another cat was gunned down, even though he had committed a crime or jacked a car or something like that, but they lied and covered up that they emptied their guns on this cat, too. I mean, I understand, you know, I'm all about locking up criminals and stuff. I got no problem with that. But the punishment is the crime, and a policeman is not supposed to be judge, jury, and executioner. And this is what has been accepted practice here in Chicago for way too long. Not just Chicago, actually, because there's another video coming out in L.A. That they're fighting to release. We all know about the situations in Ohio. You got them in Wisconsin. You got quite a few cities where, you know, the cops have overstepped their boundaries and decided to execute people rather than detain and apprehend them, which is their job. It is not their job to execute people or to, you know, to pass judgment on people. But they decide they want to execute people, and they're getting away with it.
Well, they're doing now in blue uniforms what they don't have to do now in white sheets and hoods, man. While we're being entertained, they're infiltrating law enforcement, the court system, the school system, and everything else, television, radio, music.
Absolutely. The Republicans, and I have to say Republicans because they are the ones that put these people in place, these conservatives that belong to these, I forget the name of the college where so many of them came out of, but they are ultra-conservatives. They come from the same school of thought that people like Judge Scalia, you know, in the Supreme Court, Scalia, Roberts, Thomas, people like that. And that's the way they think. And they have really locked down the legal system, and they're going to have it for a while because it's almost impossible to get one of those damn judges out of there. That's not, and then the prosecutors, well, we know what that's all about. There's only been one case of prosecutorial misconduct that I know of in the country's history. I mean, that in and of itself is a crime. I mean, that's almost statistically impossible. But they get away with framing people. They get away with tampering with evidence. They get away with stacking grand juries. They're damn near invincible. And they've been doing it. Sometimes they do it to whole cities. Down in Texas, they did a whole city like that. And just recently, I forget what this other city was, where they have ruined the lives of two or three generations of people that have been doing it for about 30, 40 years. And they've ruined the lives of hundreds of people down there. And so far, nothing's been done about it. I should have looked that up before I got on the phone, but I just thought about that when, you know, we got to talking about prosecutors and the justice system. But that's one case that really needs to be exposed. It has been talked about, but it hasn't hit mainstream media the way it's supposed to.
And when you mentioned about the insult level, I've been kind of talking about that, the insult level lately. I try to call it out when I see, okay, here goes another one, right in your face insult. And this lady had the damn nerve to say she ain't done nothing wrong.
Yeah, she actually has the temerity to say that. And she says it with an attitude, like, how dare you imply. How dare you?
Brother Dan, listen to this clip. You probably heard this, but this is the other clip she made about she ain't. Listen to the demeanor and the how she sounds and her whole tone. It's only a couple of minutes. Let me play this here for the people.
Sure.
Here we go.
And there's no way that I would ever even consider resigning.
And receive the will of the people in the form of these 35,000 citizens. signatures on the petition for her resignation.
Shots in the cover. I don't know if that audio was good enough, but anyway, she was saying that it's all political motivation, and she's not going to resign, and just her whole tone of voice, man. What do you take from this lady?
She is one of the most arrogant. She is one of the most arrogant, insensitive. Just she is an evil woman. I mean, you can see it comes out of her pores. I mean,
people
want to concentrate on the McDonald case, but there are several cases where she has spat in the faces of the black community. This one cop, not Dante Servin, who's the other guy's name? I can't think of his name right now. But he killed a man named Francis Farmer. The man's laying on the ground, and the cat walked and emptied his gun into Francis Farmer, and she refused to even charge him. He was fired, but he was never charged. She refused to do it, claiming that since he thought he saw a gun, which turned out to be a cell phone, and the man was laying on the ground already still, he said he might have still been alive, and he put the kill shots into this man on tape, and she refused to do anything about that. Refused to charge
him.
As a matter of fact, I posted it on my page a few times. I can send it to you if you would like to see it. It's just amazing. And then what she did to Howard Morgan,
to Howard Morgan
was beyond the pale. I mean, he was acquitted. Well, are you familiar with? Well, just in case for the audience, Howard Morgan was an ex-railroad cop.
I'm familiar with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, but just for the audience, they may not know
Absolutely.
About it. Yeah, mm-hmm. But the Howard Morgan case, black railroad policeman on his way home, he stopped by three or four white plainclothes cops. They shot him 28 times, claiming that he shot at them, okay? But after all the tests, you know, they destroyed some of the evidence, but all the evidence they could find, they couldn't find any evidence of a gun or anywhere where he did anything to these cats. But they tried to kill him. They executed him. They tried to execute him. He thought he was dead. But he survived this. He was in his hospital bed, convalescing, and they kept him in chains all the time he was convalescing from these 28 shots. Then they charge him with murder just based upon the testimony of the cops.
Yep.
With no physical evidence whatsoever. He was acquitted. Not acquitted, a hung jury or something like that. I think it was a hung jury. And she went back and tried him again and got a conviction and sent him to jail for absorbing those 28 bullets because they had nothing else on this man. No reason for this whatsoever. Nothing was ever done about it. But she went back. She did double jeopardy on this man. I mean, this is the kind of stuff she's been doing for years. And I've been calling for a resignation for at least 2 years, minimum. I went to our village hall meeting, talked to our people here in the city hall in the south suburbs, and said we need to start a campaign against Anita Alvarez because she's very hostile to the black community.
I tell you what, Brother Dan, I was talking to Brother Jimmy Williams about this money, this coming March is
that's the election.
One of the most important. If the future of Chicago is in March in this state's attorney's Cook County state's attorney's election, because if Chicago don't come through and take care of business here, Chicago is done, in my opinion. Unless
who can we
the
blame?
Government does.
Yeah, who can we blame if we don't do this? We have no one else
ourselves.
To blame but us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have no one left to blame.
That's what I'm saying. People stop demanding and calling for her resignation. I don't want her to resign. I'd rather the people fire her in March, 2 months away.
Yeah, it's not far at all. So they need to go on and deal with that. I would, my first instinct was that I thought that she you know, should have been forced to resign. But then I hadn't realized, you know, how close the election was. So I said, let's go for that.
Oh, yeah.
And send a resounding message to the entire political system here in Illinois. So right now, you know, we have what they call the slating board of the Democratic Committee. At first, they refused to pick a candidate, but now they're going to have another hearing, and I think they're going to go with Kim Fox, who was my choice, which would be a huge boost for her because she was virtually an unknown when all this started.
And my understanding is they just recently had a debate or something with Kim Fox. I heard it on VON. I heard a little clipping of it that Echo Dabria did the chant. Do you know anything about that?
I didn't hear it, the debate, but I heard a clip just like you did.
Okay.
And so I don't really know much about that because I didn't even know it was coming on. So I just got a piece of it. So I don't really know enough about to really comment on that. But if the Cook County Democratic Committee gets behind Kim Fox, that is huge simply because of all the finances and the resources that will be at her disposal, whereas before she had nothing. Alvarez has become such a liability. Even old-time politicians here are backing off of her, with the exception, I see Michael Madigan and Ed Burke are still supporting Alvarez. Other than those two, I don't know of any big names that are supporting her.
Well, I hope people understand, and if they can just, you know, break what they're doing for a moment and get up off the knees and go ahead and, you know, go ahead and vote, and you can come back and, you know, pick up where you left off. But you got to get that vote in and get this lady out of there, because eventually it's going to be one of your kids, one of our kids, somebody else's kid. You know, I hate it when my son comes back to Chicago to visit from Arkansas from school. I hate it when he goes back home. But, and kids, to get off this maybe a little bit, when you look at Rahm Emanuel, who's talking about raising taxes for tobacco taxes for this and that.
Very unstable tax.
They just hold the cops accountable. They just hold them accountable. They could save $1 billion right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there are different ways they could have been dealing with this. They could have saved a lot of money by making some of these people responsible for what they do. So that, and by initiating a tobacco tax, which is a very unstable tax, because you can't count on a steady stream there at all. So it's a publicity stunt, basically. You know, if it passes, it's going to pass because you know how the city council is here in Chicago. They'll do whatever Rahm tells them to do, including kissing their own behinds. So
it's another answer.
I imagine it will pass, but it's not going to make a big difference because there are some. He's got some huge problems. He's not that far away from actually being possibly, I won't say indicted, but he's getting very, very close to being exposed for his part in this court cover up. Very close.
I hope you're right.
Yeah,
I was
think
reading.
Go ahead.
Now we had a little debate earlier this week because I made a comment that you kind of got me a little bit, but that was cool. But it's, we always have good spots. But I have said that accused Obama of kind of being part of the cover up because he's sitting there claiming confidence in Rahm Emanuel, and he as smart as he is, much smarter than me. I know he knows that this is a blatant, legitimate cover up. Now, I thought about it later, and I said, well, maybe he's saying this just to keep the DOJ's rhythm going with their investigation and then let them just handle it. That could be. But you took a little, when I mentioned it, Obama was being part of the conspiracy, you kind of got me about that. What problem did you have with that? Or just tell them what problem you had with it.
First of all, President Obama, no one has actually heard him say those things that his aide, that was something that came out of his office supposedly. Now, if it's true or not, I don't know. I hope it's not, but if it is, it sucks. However, there has been speculation, including by me, that did President Obama know about this tape? Which is, I don't know. I don't know how close he and Emanuel have been since, Emanuel came here and got elected. But I don't know if he has any knowledge of this tape. Had he seen the tape or any of that? So I kind of object to people accusing him of being part of a cover-up without factual information. You know, that's my thing. I mean, if you're going to make an accusation like that, there should be some way you can tie that to him. And right now there is nothing that I can see. Whereas, and you brought up the point that since he endorsed him for mayor, that was prima facie evidence that he was involved in a cover-up. And so that's when I had to go to my research.
I wasn't necessarily saying, well, you know what, that reaction, I definitely can say that that was out of some frustration with the fact that even though you sent me some facts that he endorsed other mayors when I had said that he hadn't done it. And,
right.
Of course, I was wrong. You sent me some pure facts. I couldn't argue with you at all on that, man. And I'm saying, well, if he, being the president of the United States, and took the time from whatever else he had to do to endorse him, when they screw up as bad on the level that Rahm Emanuel has screwed up, he can take that same little bit of time and say, hey, even behind the scenes, dude, you need to cut out. You need to do something. And,
well, we don't know if he's done it.
You and I do not know
if this is what has occurred. There are things that we will never know. You know, we don't know what's being said behind the scenes. I'll give you an example. You know how tight Rahm Emanuel and Governor Bruce Rauner have been over the years. They vacationed together. You know, they've been like buddy, buddy, buddy over the years. And now they're at each other's throats. So we don't know who said what to whom. And I think it's a bit much. I think, you know, I'm not talking about you personally. I'm just talking about people in general seem to think that the president is a messiah rather than a president. And we do have a whole system of government here that we have to look to before we go start blaming things on the president, especially with local issues of this nature. Now, myself, I would love to hear him come out and say something about, you know, about this case and others. But all you have to do is look at the results of what has happened every time he's spoken on race here in this country. You can go to each time. I mean, I'm talking about from Trayvon Martin. I'm talking about to Michael Brown. I'm in Ferguson. And two of the other cases I can't think of right off the top of my head. But every time that happens, it takes focus away from everything else that he and his administration are trying to do. And so it's my opinion that he is deliberately, like in last night's address, he'll mention things, but he won't go into depth on it because once you get there, you give the noise machine all the room they need to obscure everything that's going on. And we are, as a black people in this nation, are 13% of the population. Chicago is a much smaller percentage of that. And he simply cannot afford, as president, to scuttle his whole agenda because of what's going on here. Even though it may really be bothering him, and I assume it is, but there's not too much he can say without getting off message for the whole nation. And that's been my whole point right here. He's the president, not our messiah. And there's only, you know, there's some things he can do and can't do, and there's some things he will do and won't do. And I think we should know by now that he plays chess rather than plays checkers. We've seen this too many times. I've seen things that he's done that, you know, now I understand why he did this or why he did that. I'm not saying this is the case now because I get pissed off with him just like everybody else, but not to the degree where I'm going to just trash him and join in the unrelenting opposition that he has faced ever since he walked, no, actually before he even walked into that office. And I can't do that. I won't do it.
A good point, man. I tell you, you got me. You know, when you're sparring and somebody get a good hook on you, you know, you go down and you just get your ass back up, you know, and dance around a little bit. But that just goes to show you, people, and I'm guilty of it, and I probably most people are. Sometimes when you react emotionally, you can tend to, kind of curve around a little bit and miss point. It happens, you know, and I don't have a problem admitting it when it happens.
I got into it with an attorney this morning, Matt McGill's show on WVON, and they were trashing the State of the Union speech for this reason and for that reason. And
I heard.
Oh, you heard it?
Yeah, but go ahead and tell the people. Y'all were listening.
Yeah, and wait a minute. I said, wait, this is enough of this crap. So I called the attorney. I won't name him. He's having an event, a sponsored event this Saturday called The Dream and all that. And his whole premise is for young people, what are we going to do after Emmanuel's gone, after Alvarez's gone? What are you going to do with your future, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And I called him out on it. I said, you all are talking about the same things, but yet you are, you know, you're trashing the speech, but you haven't read it because you couldn't have read it because right there in the first paragraph are things that you said he never said. And then he repeated something similar to that later on in the speech. I'm going to send you a transcript. You're a lawyer. Read it.
Yeah, I heard it.
Read it for yourself. If you didn't hear it, Or either that, or you put, you know, I didn't call him a liar, but I did say he's contradicting himself. I said, you're contradicting yourself. On one hand, you want to blast the speech, but on the second hand, you things that you are touting, you know, for black entrepreneurship and stuff, these are things that are mentioned in this speech, things that you should know. And, you know, so if you're gonna trash the man, trash him factually. Don't trash him on emotion. You know, he's not
on that, note.
Yep.
On that note, because we're going to take a quick break. I got to do a little old school break. Come right back, and we'll talk about the State of the Union. I have not been able to hear the whole thing. I did get up this morning and listened to about half of it, and I wrote a few notes down of things that I thought were interesting, nonetheless. And we'll come back. We'll talk about that. I also want to go into this thing that's really been kind of pissing me off, and I've just been shaking my head so hard I need a damn neck brace, man. This affluenza bullshit.
Affluent.
Oh, because he's so rich, he's been privileged, so they couldn't teach him right from wrong. You think that would work for us?
Yeah.
For our young kids who maybe didn't learn right from wrong because they were too poor and had conflicts and so forth in their lives? Sickening, man.
Yeah, it is.
Ooh, but the
hypocrisy is just going off the roof. It's going through the roof, man.
It's in our face, right? Smack in our face. Let's take
every day rubbing our faces in it.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that more as soon as we come back.
Like a butterfly. The gun he held got him expelled. He will never return, for he has earned street recognition for putting ammunition into so many others, hurting so many mothers with a gun he found just laying around. Now the table has turned, because his mother just learned her son lay dead from a bullet to his head. Carrying a gun doesn't make you number one. A finger on a trigger doesn't make you any bigger. While you squeeze and fire, let another child lay dead. Some say with nerve, justice was served. He got what he deserved. While a mother and or father cry tears that flow like water, then tomorrow someone's daughter becomes a victim to the slaughter. As we bury our young, those knowing turn and run, not wanting to snitch and tell who fired the gun. Red light cameras have a perfect view. Over the line, a ticket mailed to you. Blue light cameras on poles everywhere. Do they even function, or are they just up there? We call on politicians and the leaders of religions to start up a petition to pray for intervention and hold to the conviction. There is a resolution to give us a solution to save this generation from a plague of destruction, this violent eruption of not living life, just ending someone's life. Give them a voice to tell why they make this choice. Let their story be told about being so cold. Let them talk about their pain so that we may gain an understanding why so many had to die. An understanding why they think if someone dies, it will exterminate the lives of the colors they despise, which in truth is a disguise. It's a symbol worn for lack because no one had their back. We've got to attack this name Chirac. It's time to take this city back. We've got to attack this name Chirac. It's time to take our city back. Take it back.
And that was a poem from who I have crowned. She is one of my South Shore High School alumni. I have deemed her the South Shore High Alumni Poet Laureate. That's Deborah Allison.
Okay. That was all right.
It was on point. I love it. I love it. I make a point to play it on the show. Wow, powerful. No profanity. That's the way. Now, if it's going to be rap, that's the kind of rap I'm talking about.
There you go.
State of the Union, Brother Dan, what did you think? What did you, I know you saw the whole thing. What did you
well, yeah.
Come away from that night?
Well, I think
he was trying to pray it.
I'm sorry, were you about to say something?
I was going to say besides that dude sitting behind him with making faces.
Oh, yeah.
Go
well,
ahead.
You know, they do that. Anyhow, basically, in my opinion, I really thought the speech was very thorough, but it left out some things that I would have liked to have been emphasized. But at the same time, I know why they weren't emphasized. Now, that's what I got into it with that attorney on air today about. He seems to be of the mind that we at the back of the line getting crumbs, et cetera, and et cetera. And I said, did you actually look at some of the things that have been done? And did you listen to some of the things that he is proposing that will benefit us greatly? And one of the first things that I mentioned was a little-known development. You familiar with Bobby Jindal down there, the governor, the former governor of Louisiana, I imagine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Jindal. Okay, Bobby Jindal had to leave office, and he's been replaced by a Democrat. So in one day, 300,000 people that did not have health care now have health care in the state of Louisiana. Now, that is huge. That's just one state. There is no way, you know, you can get by in today's climate if you're working or if you're an entrepreneur and not have health care of some type because it's just too expensive. It was the leading cause of bankruptcy in the entire country. That's a fact. There's no getting around that. That is being greatly diminished, and a lot more people are insured as a direct result of Obamacare, but also at the same time, most of the states with Republican governors have refused to pay for it and won't let the government pay for it because they refuse to let them have access to the Medicare funds, the Medicaid funds. So there are still millions of people, many of them whom are black, that can't get health care because the Republicans don't like President Obama. So, you know, things like that need to be pointed out. I mean, they are really dragging their feet and hurting the American people because of their personal dislikes and because of their personal prejudices. And I don't see how anyone can look at it any other way. Also, if you look at if he comes up with this plan, if this plan is successful to provide 2 years of free community college to everybody in the United States that wants to go, that would greatly reduce college costs. Now, they have already made it a law that a person with a student loan can only pay 10% of their salary, no more, towards a student loan. So regardless of what you make, 10% is all that the banks can drag out of you. And they are taking the banks out of this equation, which is another good thing, because you know they want some money off the top. So some of the money is just going into their pockets, and it's not benefiting anyone. Mm-hmm. Also, he also proposed pre-K training, which basically, as we used to call it, Head Start back in the day, and we need to get that back. So when you go into school as a 4, 5, or 6 year old, you are already partially prepared, and you got a leg up rather than being 2, 3, 4, 5 years behind by the time you get to the 6th or 7th grade. At least you'll have a head start on that. That would be huge. Education is the key to everything that you do here in this country. And, you know, to not take advantage of that and to not invest in that is just pure madness. You know, so I really liked some of the things he was saying. I almost forgot. Teaching our children code. Code is the language of the future. And there are already a lot of individual efforts. You remember Van Johnson? He used to be a part of part of the president's cabinet. Okay. He himself has committed to teaching over 100,000 of our children computer code. And there are other programs similar to that. The president wants to get the government involved in it. We want to teach all the children code that want to learn it. So, because if you don't know code, I guess in the near future, you're going to be pretty much illiterate. And you're going to be doomed, to flip burgers the rest of your life. So, if we get these things rolling, I mean, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. There, right now, as we speak now, there are 5.5 million jobs open of all types right now. Okay, now our unemployment rate depends on who you ask. They say it's right around between 8 and 10% right now. Okay, we have about 30 million black people in the country. I think that's correct. So if we could get even half of those jobs, that's a huge dent in our unemployment rate. But we got to be trained for jobs.
When they start talking about the jobs, I really kind of cringe a little bit when they start talking about jobs, unemployment rate, and so forth, because if they wouldn't let the jobs go overseas like they have, that's part of the problem. I had a dispatch, a job at a State Farm in Bloomington a couple of weeks ago, and I tell you, if I was to blindfold you and take you up in that place, and if it's a blindfold off, you think you was in India, man.
Okay, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you brought that up. There have been at least 3 bills, the most recent just this past summer, that they've tried to push through Congress that would penalize companies for doing this, for outsourcing, at least fine them, or offer them some incentive to bring these jobs back. And the Republicans have blocked every last one of them. This is a fact. Look it up for yourself. I mean, they've been trying to bring jobs back here, but they don't want them. Okay. They would rather have people unemployed or working in substandard jobs rather than cooperate with this president. It's pretty sick stuff going on here, man.
That's the problem. The jobs are gone. I mean, and they have jobs, maybe they're waiting and pending, but what type of jobs and what do they pay? It used to be you didn't need to graduate from high school. You can go work in a steel mill and still make a living and take care of a family.
Yeah.
You know,
well, there's still some of those jobs left. The lady from the Urban League, I don't know if they posted them on the Urban League website yet, but there were some $50,000 a year jobs where they will train you if you have a high school diploma and GEDs, and I forget how many jobs there were, and I forget what the category was actually, but some kind of manufacturing job, some kind of tool and die thing. And they will train you themselves, but you got to have your high school diploma and GED and be drug-free. There was about 3 or 4 different jobs like that that the lady went over. I tried to get Perry Small on WON to post it on their website, but as usual, that went over their heads. They ain't done that yet. So I got to go back to I'm going to go back to the Urban League and call these people myself so I can get the so I can have the specific information, because I like to post this stuff on my Facebook page. But there are some jobs they have available, and the Urban League will also train you for a lot of these jobs. And these are just GED and high school diploma jobs, and but they also want you to be drug-free, which has been a problem in some areas, as you well know.
Yeah, I bet it has. I bet it has, yeah. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a couple of things down from what I listened to, and I thought the one thing I was kind of interested in, I said, oh, wage insurance. You mean if you get another job, you lose, you get another one, don't make quite as much, can't pay you? You mean they have an insurance program that will help you get over the hump? I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a proposal.
Yeah, that was
And why not? How come? Why should you be? Why shouldn't your 401k be follow you wherever you go? Why do you have to cash out your 401k and pay the banks huge penalties when you leave a job?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
no
not
doubt
right.
About it. No doubt about it.
Your 401k should stay with you.
And I also wrote down the making college affordable, 2 years of free college. But one thing I was curious about, I'm wondering if the 2 years of free college, would it harm the HBCUs? Do you think that would make a difference at all, or would that just be a casualty to something that would get more people in the school?
Now, HBCUs are hurting so badly, I don't see I can hurt them much more. Actually, I'm thinking that some of the HBCUs may want to reexamine their business model and possibly become a first two-year college and get a part of this. At least they can get the funding.
That's interesting. That's just somebody that way.
Yeah, that's just something I threw off the top of my head. You know, some of the ones that are really struggling, I mean, why not, you know, apply for that status and perhaps get the funding and then rebuild your school from there? I mean, that's a double benefit right there.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That is a hell of a point, man. I hadn't thought about that. Wow.
Yeah, that's something
okay.
that can work for us on a lot of levels.
You know what else I noticed on the speech yesterday? It just a real small something, but Every other thing he was saying, they were clapping, standing up, clapping. But you know, one thing
right.
I noticed that Harold got a whimper when he said the gas prices are under $2 a gallon. Did you notice
mm-hmm.
that?
I didn't hear the part you said before that. Repeat the sentence because you broke up just a little bit.
No. I said that it seemed like every other thing he was saying, the those who supported him were standing up, clapping, clapping and, making noise, rah, 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 pep.
Right.
But it was unusually quiet when he said, I expected the whole room to stand up saying, yeah. You could damn near hear a pin drop when he said, mention the gas prices were under $2. He kind of stood there for a couple of seconds, and he just carried on.
Well, you know who's paying the bills now, don't you?
Absolutely.
End of story. The lobbyists, they're not happy about this gas price drop. And they're going to be a lot less happy as these other technologies get developed. I mean, there's a method right now that even Exxon and places like that are investing in, that they found a way to extract oil from sand, and they're working on that now. Right now, it's expensive, just like other new technology. But if they get that going, man, and that plus the fact you seen those windmills that are using air power and so forth, you seen those, right? Those big windmills that they have in a lot of places.
Yeah.
They're putting those underwater. Well, they're putting those underwater using deep-sea drilling technology. They're putting those underwater, and you have a continuous current underwater as opposed to the air. And so that's going to put another huge dent in it. They're going to put them all up. They're going to put a lot of them offshore in various areas. They study in areas off of different countries. And when they start doing that, and you combine that with the new technology, pretty soon, I think fossil fuels are on the way out. It's going to have to be because, it's tearing up the planet. It's tearing the planet
really
up as it stands right now.
It really helps you to see how screwed that the Bush administration was getting us with these gas prices, man. Gas didn't have to be that high. It hit $5 for premium at one time, I remember.
Well, yeah.
And here in Texas and Missouri, it's like, $1.59 a gallon over here.
Mm-hmm. But, the thing about gas prices, even though I think there are some things that a president can do, I never give too much credit or too much blame for gas prices to any president simply because the prices are set on the world market. Now, the only way a president can really affect those prices is if he releases the oil reserves. And that only affects it between 5 to 7 cents per gallon. I mean, this has already been studied. That's why, you know, they blamed President Obama for high gas prices when he first got in there. So I don't blame him for taking credit for what's going on right now. But the president and the administration has very little to do with gas prices. That's just a fact. So, you know, when I heard them slamming him with the high gas prices, I had to talk about it. And then when he's getting credit for this, I had to talk about that, too, because factually it's not correct. Yeah, that's having the world market. The world market determines your gas prices, not any one country's policies. Because China's hurting like a big dog. China's hurting. The Soviet Union is hurting too. They didn't want these gas prices going down either because, you know, they export a lot of oil, and so now all these countries are in competition to ship oil. But everybody's got, you know, a lot of people have their own right now. The Chinese are trying to take over Nigeria's oil fields, and they're doing a damn good job of it. They almost got it all, too. Nigeria also has a lot of oil. But oil is on the way out. I probably won't live to see it, but pretty soon it's going to be one of the least – it's going to be like kerosene is today, you know, used here and there.
Yeah, man, that was – I hope you're right, brother, because something's happening. Something's happening.
Yeah, it's changing. The technology is changing. Go ahead.
You got a few more minutes, Dan? You got a little more time on your hand?
Sure. What you got?
No, we're just going to take a break. And I was going to, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this police board. They call themselves, they're faking the community out of our nation and believe that they're going to have a say in the next police chief. I also wanted to talk about a little bit of the affluenza. I got something to say about this Arnie Duncan's little pony, dog and pony show he had last month at St. Sabina talking about violence. And the Flint water tragedy, the Flint water issue, that's something that's really, 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 really big and tragic.
I've been talking about that for months, man. I'm glad it's starting to get some traction.
Yeah, I've been hearing about it for months with Vaughn Valentine. And now it's finally caught fire, and somebody hopefully will have
a
head roll. Yeah.
That's huge, man. Back. How do you poison out thousands of people like that and then walk away?
And that is...
That's amazing.
Maybe they can share a spell with Kwame Kilpatrick, man, because somebody got to go.
ain't none of the white folks going to jail with Kwame, believe me.
Yeah, I hear you. But we'll take a quick break, and we're going to talk about the police and the board and all that crap and all the other stuff, and just hold on, and we'll be right back. The police. We're talking about the police.
Thank you.
Maceo. Need I say more? Okay, we got that. Yeah, I love that cut. Man, this issue with the Flint water, when did you first start hearing it? I've been hearing about it for quite a while myself, and didn't really
let's
see. Out just recently.
I'd say maybe a year ago, maybe.
Okay.
Because it happened like 3 years ago. Yeah, about a year ago. And I said, at first it was one of those stories, okay, they had a problem with the water, blah, blah, blah. But as I started reading more of it, and then lead's involved, I mean, what could be worse? Once you find out lead's involved, you got to shut it down. So then he sends in the National Guard with bottled water after they get busted.
Yeah, how do you use that debate? How many bottles does it take to get some decent bath water? And then you got to boil water, going to make your bills go up higher. And then they're charging them for this dirty water.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
incredible.
Yeah, it's really stunning. It's really stunning. So I'm hoping that there's a full investigation into this. As it stands right now, I don't see anybody that's really actually investigating per se unless I miss something. But eventually somebody's going to have to say something. Somebody's going to have to own up to this. And then those kids have been permanently damaged.
Yes.
You know, lead is not, you know, you can't, the brain does not regenerate itself.
And that
stuff gets in your brain, it's over.
Even as we speak, I mean, you go to Flint, and what do? I mean, what do they do? I mean, they give them bottled water. You got to take a bath. You got to eat. You got to cook. What are the restaurants using? I mean, what are they using in schools, the prisons? Everywhere.
Yep, everything there. But it's not just Flint. It's some of the surrounding area, too. It's not just the city of Flint itself, but I think there's some of the surrounding areas. So there's quite a few thousand people involved in this. But you know what? We're on the subject of lead. Now, this is something that that's never talked about either. All buildings built before 1975 in the cities had lead paint in them. There are thousands of buildings still in existence in the cities where guess who lives in these cities that still have lead paint in them. So as we discuss this and as we look around and things are changing, you know, when they urban renew and all that, when they tear the buildings down and rebuild them, I think it's 75 to 80% of all the buildings with lead in them have black residents in them. So it's been generations of our children that have been sucking up lead. And lead causes learning disabilities, which, in my view, is part of the reason that in the cities we do so poorly in school. I think we have whole generations of children, probably me too, because sometimes I'm a little nutty too, that's been ingesting lead for most of their adult lives. But that's not
something
when
you mix with everything else, including lead, man, then you wonder why, you know, that could be a hell of a foundation for why we have the problems that we have as we speak, man.
But all the buildings built before 75 have lead paint. And those in the cities where black people live. And nobody seems to want to touch that.
Well, some heads need to grow up, but I don't, like you say, it had it been like a Marion Barrier or Kwame Kilpatrick or any black mayor you could think of, but I tell you, they'd have been held accountable. Should they have been on the you already know. Anybody already knows. They've got to break that down. But I hope they get it together, man, because they need a whole new overhaul. What, you know, bottled water? Come on, man.
You can't do that indefinitely. And then in addition to that, you're generating tons and tons of pollution. Because those bottles, you know, those bottles don't decompose. So your landfills are going to get filled up, and then it's going to go back. Even the good water is going to end up with a lot of plastic. You've seen those pictures of the islands of plastic out in the ocean and stuff? I mean, they are literally islands larger than Manhattan that are floating around. It's mostly plastic stuff that floats, and they're floating around in the ocean right now. There's just so much of that crap. And it will not decompose, and we're running out of landfill space. You can't burn it because it's putting the PCPs up in the air.
Well, they're damn going to have to deal with Flint, man. I mean, I know it's crazy and out there, but hell, everything, you know, the situation is out there. But, you know, they're going to have to, what are they going to do, relocate the people somewhere else so they get it together? How are they going to still be living there?
Where are they going to put them?
Knowing, that's why I say it's out there. I don't know.
Yeah, where are you going to put them? You know, you see the way they treated
people.
You see the way people got treated after Katrina. Nobody wanted them. They had to scatter them all over the country.
I mean, how
something about black refugees this country don't want to deal with.
That's a damn shame, boy. I just hope it keeps on blowing up and blowing up, because this is deep. And you know, if it's happening here, something that's like that is happening somewhere else.
Absolutely.
You know, it's,
and as it stands right now, on the Earth's surface, there's only about 1 to 2% of that water, because they can't use the salt water in the oceans. 1 to 2% of the water, but the landlocked water, is really fit for human use, especially in the sub-Saharan areas. So water is becoming more and more precious. That's why I hope they get this desalinization thing together, where they can desalt the water in the oceans. Because as it stands right now, the fresh water is being fought over. There've been water wars going on in this country for at least 20 to 30 years that I know of, especially out west, California, Nevada, Arizona. All those states out there, they're fighting for underground water they call aquifers, and that's where their water comes from. Now, we are sitting here on the lakes here. This is the largest depository of fresh water anywhere in the country, are these lakes, but the lake levels are way down. So it's no joke, man. This water is becoming a real serious problem. And I said a while back, water is going to be more expensive than gas. And if you go by the gallon, right now, water is more expensive than gas.
We haven't gotten everything that I had down here, but I do want to touch on, I didn't mention that before the break, but Taraji Henson had some interesting comment at the Globe Awards, man. And I really appreciated that she said what we pretty much already know, but it's nice to see somebody on point saying that, she's the parts that she's played, but it takes for her to play the role as Cookie to win an award.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then, you know, I had a little on-air debate with a couple of people. They seemed to be upset with Taraji. She was passing out cookies, so she couldn't be that upset or go do something else. And she took the award, blah, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you're going to hear all that. But those are people that usually like those kind of shows. My deal is simply this. They're part of it, but why can't they speak out on it and try to make it better? Brothers also have been complaining about the lousy roles that they've been getting in these films and movies ever since I can remember. And, it's just the same thing on television. Television roles, movie roles, we get to play all these old cruddy parts. And when we play something really thuggish enough or something they can really look at as degenerate, and we get rewarded for it in the form of Academy Awards and Golden Globes. I mean, that's been the pattern.
It kind of helped me respect, even though I'm definitely not a Empire Scandal stuff fan. You know, I like news, informative stuff, documentaries, something I can learn from. But it did help me to say, you know, okay, if you're gonna, you know, I understand you got to make money and you got to make a living. Okay, fine.
Exactly.
But at least you took the time to speak up on it. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, she's getting criticized for some quarters. Some people are criticizing it. I don't understand it. It's like some people act like they are, like we're not supposed to say anything. And I think we should back people up when they step forward. That's what I think.
I agree. The rappers who have come out and said, hey, you know, they told us in these meetings that if we do X, Y, Z, that's how we get paid. We try to do something positive and so forth, you know, and so on. That's a whole other story. I don't even want to mix that with this. I believe that one alone. But I do appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad you spoke out myself personally. Like I said, I've never seen Scandal. I've never seen Empire, and probably never will in my lifetime, because I think 95% of the stuff that comes on regular television, I've never seen any of those programs for the last 20 years or so. And I can say that with a straight face. I just haven't seen that.
I'm with you.
I don't
mess around with it. Not at all. Okay, we'll shut it down with this last. We got to talk about this fairy tale
Police Board. What do you think about this, man? What is the okay. Duke, is the Duke squad out there on this, man?
Here we go. With the, okay. What a lot of people don't realize is when Rahm Emanuel was first elected, he appointed the first Police Board. Okay? They did absolutely nothing, and there was a lot of complaints. You know, I forget the exact events that precipitated him forming IPRA. IPRA was supposed to have been the new and improved version of the police board. Okay? We all know how that turned out. More garbage. So this is actually the second police board. He's had two police boards and IPRA in the time he's been in office in a little over 4 years. And that's a fact. And none of them have been effective. As a matter of fact, they even fired the one brother who wanted to find a shooting unjustified that the cops did. They fired him, and they took the power away from the other two people that were on the board. Because I think it's like 3, 6, 7, or 8 people on there. I forget how many people they had on there. And they took the power away from the others that voted to convict a couple of these cops on this stuff. Now, please keep in mind that there was damn near 500 cases that IPRA dealt with, and they had a grand total of 2 unjustifieds out of all those cases. So basically, you shoot somebody or jack somebody up as a cop, the chances of you being punished for it are almost negligible. They're almost non-existent. And even when you do something about it, the powers that be turn on you. And you can't – now, I didn't hear Emanuel and none of them people coming to this man's defense when he got fired. Now, all of a sudden, you know, he wants to reform it again, but it's the same old garbage. They don't have any subpoena power. I mean, what good is a board like that? And they can't subpoena witnesses. They can't subpoena documents. They can call witnesses, but they don't have any teeth. And they have a small budget, which is part of the scam. They keep the budget low, keep the investigators. They don't have investigators. So basically they're there for window dressing. I said it before and I'll say it again. Now they're doing this dog and pony show claiming they want input from the community for the next police chief. But
another
about all the years prior to this. If they really wanted that, it would have been done a long time ago.
There's another insult. The Doom Squad in motion, man. It's
all it is. It's garbage. It's straight up garbage. They can't do anything.
I read and I watch this stuff and listen to it, and I tell you, I can't believe how this is happening right before our eyes, but you still have people who just refuse to come out of their comfort zone and acknowledge it, because I guess to do that would be stressful or whatever it is. It would agitate their comfort zone, and they just can't have that.
No, man. I know there's so many people that want to stick their head between their legs. And just, you know, they will not deal with this stuff. They don't want to talk about it. They get pissed off if you talk about it. They get pissed off if they see you. Then they get pissed off at demonstrators, but they don't get pissed off at the people that's doing the shooting and stuff. It's amazing to me.
One more thing. I'm not even going to the absolute thing. We know what's up with that. It's just another. That Dr. Pussin could probably go into that and, you know, just listen to the
all day long.
That's all it's about. So we ain't even got to break that down. But I did want to. One more thing. Check. Look, what the hell is going on here, man? Where the black female sergeant in New York? They're gonna charge her in the murder of. This is what right in our faces, man.
You want to know about that one? Check this out.
Go ahead, man.
Okay, right, check this out. Okay, she was the ranking officer on the scene. Now, ironically enough, her name is Kizzy, K-I-Z-Z-Y, just like in Roots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first I was outraged that she was the only person that got charged when it was a white man's arm around his neck from behind. But then I thought about it. I'm like, if you're the ranking officer and you heard this man say, "I can't breathe 11 times, why in the hell didn't you try to do something? So I'm saying, the hell, I don't give a damn what happens to that heifer. Screw her. If you're going to be an officer. You're going to sit there and watch those white folks strangle this man to death and you ain't going to do nothing? I don't give a damn what happens to that hoe. Excuse my language.
I'm
serious.
I don't disagree.
You know,
the same thing happened
with Sandra Bland. The first sister, it was a black woman cop, was the first one on the scene. This man had dragged her out of camera range and slammed her head down on the pavement and had his knee on her neck, and she's screaming at the sister. You should have obeyed him. You're getting what you deserve. I don't even want to talk to you. I could have kicked her face in. You know, and the same thing with the Walter Scott case. You know, what a 50-something-year-old man tried to run away, and then the dude just got down on one knee and took aim and shot him, you know, shot him up and whatnot. It was a black guy first on the scene that was helping him, trying to plant a gun on him. You know, I got no use for people like that.
Whatever happens to them, happens to them.
I don't give a damn what they do to them. And I feel the same thing about Kizzy. Kizzy can go straight to hell as far as I'm concerned.
My only thing is how easy it is for them to get the black folk. And, yeah, get them. But how in the hell was the man who actually did the killing? Well, we know that.
Yeah, well, that's an outrage. I agree.
I know that is an outrage,
but I also think it's an outrage for a black person with authority over these that pack of hyenas didn't try to stop or intervene in any way. And this man said, "I can't breathe," 11 times. And she didn't say nothing. I hope they all get to apologize to him in person.
I hear you. I'm down with that.
I think that's where I got that from.
I got to be careful sometimes when I go on because I know that
my bad. Okay.
I just try to fit in a certain way where, you know, just make it right.
Yeah.
You know, they can walk around and say, I am Darren Wilson, but, you know, if we walked around saying, "Well, I am Chris Dorner," next thing you know,
can you imagine? You know, they kicked me off Facebook for posting something from the Civil Rights Museum.
Yeah, I heard about that, man. I was reading that from you. It's like,
I couldn't believe that shit, man. I mean, what do you mean? I can't post for 2 days for what? And I said, well, this is straight out of the museum. It's factual information. There's no profanity. The violence was perpetrated years ago, and it's a matter, you know, it's a matter of public record. How are you going to penalize me for posting that? I said, you all need to get somebody with some knowledge of civil rights history if you're going to make decisions like that, because you make yourself look like idiots when you do this. Which I guess that's why they did not rescind it until all the time it ran out. But I sure told the asses.
Yeah, they're getting scarily powerful. Facebook is getting kind of, you know. So
yeah,
powerful.
Well, you know, your brother's all over that sucker too.
You got to be wary on that. Yeah, I definitely take full advantage of it. But can you imagine the fiasco if it was all of a sudden just stopped and the information was missing, lost? Man, people would lose. It would be like the 29 with the stock market failure, jumping off buildings and stuff, man. You know. But we'll close it out, man. We'll give you a chance. Usually I'll take a break for a closing statement. We'll go ahead and let you make the closing statement. We'll close it out. And another good show, man. I appreciate you coming on. We'll just let you take the wheel and say whatever you want to say, if anything at all, man.
Well, first of all, again, thank you for the opportunity. To my brothers and sisters out there, get involved in something. Join something. Don't just go home and watch television. Contribute to a civil rights organization or do something. You know, there is no reason why every last one of our have to rely mostly on white folks for funding. That's disgusting. You can join the NAACP. You can join you can contribute to black colleges. Just a few dollars, every little bit. You know, if we all just put a few dollars towards our own causes, we'd be a hell of a lot better off. If you got time to go out and volunteer, that's even better. When I was out there doing volunteer stuff, you know, especially when it was, you know, stuff dealing with presidential politics, it was almost all white folks out there. There's just a handful of black folks I saw out there. You know, I don't know. We got to get up off our asses and get out from in front of them TVs and start doing something. That's just the way it is.
That's the way it should be.
Yep.
I agree. I totally agree. On that note, I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to close out with?
No, I'm good, brother. I got a roll anyway, but I appreciate the time.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I take a long time to do, man. But okay. Well, in the name of whomever or whatever, your spiritual power. Peace and good night.
Good night.
you have that listening to We Are Everyday People, Global Internet Radio Network. Peace.